I'm here with Dana, who worked at the Intertribal Youth Center 2 summers ago. So, hi.
Hi, nice to be here.
Nice to see you here. Can you tell us about your experience?
Yeah, so I worked at the Intertribal Youth Center 2 summers ago as the communications assistant. So what I did was working in the youth center to network with other Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal organizations in Montreal, as well as helping just kind of organize the general events and activities that happened in the center. And I also worked doing kind of general support work there.
Can you tell us who accesses the ITYC?
Yeah, so the Intertribal Youth Center is a really, really wonderful place. And it's accessed by a whole number of different people. It's for youth, so it's anyone under the age of 30 that can come into the center. It's predominantly Aboriginal youth, but that encompasses a huge number of people. A lot of people come from up north in Canada, from anywhere from the Northwest Territories to the very northernest portions of Quebec, to people who are from Montreal itself or from southern Ontario. We saw kids coming in from all over Canada. It was a really interesting meeting point. A lot of different people and a lot of really wonderful Aboriginal youth.
What system factors affect the lives of people who use the center?
Yeah, so that's, I think, a really interesting and difficult question, because I think the reality is that a lot of people who come into the Intertribal Youth Center and the Native Friendship Center at Montreal can face pretty difficult situations. There are a lot of young Aboriginal people in Canada who are facing issues of homelessness, of pretty acute poverty, and who are facing pretty difficult life situations. You know, it's a harsh reality for Aboriginal people in Canada today that there are these long-standing histories of colonialism and of racism that, you know, impact youth in these ways, where they find themselves in a new city and it's very difficult to get employment, to access services, and to find the support that they need.
More precisely, do you see systemic factors as gendered violence?
Yeah, I think they definitely can be. I think for a lot of young Aboriginal women in particular, if we look at the context in Canada and we look at what the reality is for a lot of Aboriginal women, it's not always a very happy one. That's not to say that there aren't a lot of supportive and wonderful places for Aboriginal women to go, but the reality is that Aboriginal women make up, 60% of the women who are in the prisons in Canada today. You know, they're not treated with the same respect as police, white or non-Aboriginal women by police force. They don't make up the same portions of the people that we see in post-secondary institutions. And there are definitely reasons for that. And those reasons tend to be these kinds of systemic problems that I was talking about earlier, in terms of those histories of colonialism and racism that create these societal factors that impede Aboriginal women from accessing services and accessing support that would allow them to be more supported in our societies.
How does the youth center help these women?
Yeah, so I think the Intertribal Youth Center in particular was a really interesting place when it was open. It provided a lot of cultural activities, including stone carving, in terms of, going on field trips, going to do sweat lodges. It was a space where they often brought in Aboriginal elders as well that would provide support for young people. So it provided a lot of kind of material services for young Aboriginals. But I think more importantly, what it provided was a safe space. It was, a community center where people could drop in anytime they wanted. They could meet their friends, they could bring their kids in as well, and hang out in a place where they knew that they could be accepted. They could talk with their friends. They could, forget about some of the worries that they had on a general day-to-day basis and just feel comfortable and feel safe.
Yeah, because I guess there are not so many safe space in Montreal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think particularly, if you're a young Aboriginal woman and you have 2 kids and, you're struggling to work, or you're struggling to deal with being in school at the same time as raising kids, it can be pretty tiring, and it can also be really isolating because it's frequently hard to access services. So the ITYC, served as this really great meeting place where you could go and just hang out and relax a little bit and be with people that would support you and that, would accept you.
How has your time in the ITYC affected you?
working at the Native Friendship Center and at the Intertribal Youth Center was really, really wonderful. I met just so many wonderful people that were doing really amazing things. It also just kind of shifted my perception of what was actually going on in Montreal and what my city was actually composed of, because I am not an Aboriginal person myself. I've known in kind of like a peripheral way how, you know, how serious issues can be in terms of what the histories of what's happened at residential schools and how acute this racism can be. But I don't think I'd ever interacted with or really seen this, the strength of young Aboriginals in Canada. That's not something that people frequently talk about, or, you know, it's not a picture that is painted regularly. But, you know, a lot of the youth that I interacted with were just like me. They wanted the best for themselves and their families. You know, they worked really hard and, you know, they just like to joke around and have fun, too. So I think working there impacted me on a whole number of levels. But, you know, at the base, I just made a bunch of really great friends and learned how important it is to have a space where you can feel supported and have community. I think another part about the ITYC is that not only did it provide this kind of safer space where people could go in and feel comfortable, but it also connected them to other Aboriginals, and it allowed Aboriginals that were coming to Montreal for the first time from northern communities to kind of keep a sense of that community, to, you know, reconnect with their traditions or reconnect with some of the activities that they might have done at home, and kind of keep that portion of their life alive.
So what's going on with the youth center right now?
Well, I think that things are in a pretty precarious place for the youth center because the funding for the Native Friendship Center has been cut by the National Association, and we're not totally sure what's going to happen right now. Right now that the center is open based on savings from the Native Friendship Center, but we're not sure how long that's going to last. Estimates are about 3 months, but we're not really sure what will happen after that and if the National Association will be able to support them or if the center is going to have to look for funding elsewhere. And I think that this is, it's pretty tragic because the Native Friendship Center has played such an important role for so many Aboriginal people in Montreal for such a long time. And I know personally just some of the youth that I've interacted with there who came into the Intertribal Youth Center had been coming in for years, and they would come in every single day. Whether that was just to meet friends or to access services, they were there all the time. And the Native Friendship Center and the Intertribal Youth Center in particular kind of served as the roots, the very basis of their community. So to have that gone, I can't imagine what the impact that that's going to have on that community. It's going to be really difficult for those people to come together, to support each other, and to have a space where they can feel safe in a city that is otherwise quite adverse to them.
How can listeners reframe their thinking about the experience of the Aboriginal community in Montreal?
I think that there are a lot of negative stereotypes about what it means to be an urban Aboriginal. I think that there's a lot of stigma, and I think that there are a lot of stereotypes that often associate urban Aboriginals with, issues of homelessness, with issues of drug addiction and abuse. And, you know, certainly those problems exist. I don't want to say that they don't. But I also think that one needs to understand that this is a population that has been very adversely affected by the systemic issues that we were talking about and that has gone through a lot of hardship. But that, particularly in my experiences with the community at the Native Friendship Center, I think that there's a lot of strength there and there is a lot of resilience. And there is a community of support there of people who are trying to do the best for themselves. So I think that, you know, as a non-Aboriginal person myself, I personally feel the need to be very conscious about my own privilege, about how I understand these issues, and know that I can't speak for the experience of an urban Aboriginal, but I can do my best to be respectful and to be supportive. In my case, working at the ITYC, there were many instances where people came to me for support, and I tried to do my best to support those people. You know, like these are very tricky issues, and I think in our society there is a lot of racism against Aboriginal people, and it's very unfortunate, but it's an issue that needs to be addressed. We can't continue to speak for a population. We have to allow them to speak for themselves, and we have to be supportive, and we have to know that a population who has faced extreme racism and a lot of issues of poverty and systemic violence is going to be adversely affected, and that they're going to have issues that they need to go through. Across Canada are facing some pretty serious issues, and neither the governments or populations themselves seem to support them through these things, particularly when you look at the context of government cuts recently, with cuts to the Aboriginal Health Network, you know, cuts to community centers across the board. These are the populations that are suffering the brunt end of the kind of economic austerity programs that we're seeing internationally. And there's very little acknowledgement of that because it's based in these stereotypes of individualistic blame. A lot of the women that came into the Intertribal Youth Center were young women who had children themselves. And so it kind of provided the support of other women that they could go to in terms of childcare or support in terms of other issues that they were dealing with. It provided informal networks of support that were really, really important for creating security and safety for a lot of these young women. And I think that that's particularly important in this context where we see a lot of those social support systems that were previously funded by the government being cut. Informal support networks thus tend to take on a larger role. But I think that all of the women that I interacted with at the Native Friendship Center were very strong women who had been through a lot, but were also very resilient, very happy, and wanted to live good lives and do the best that they could. They were just all very, very lovely people that I greatly appreciated hanging around with.